This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
All right, we're back in the studio for the first time in God knows how long.
A year?
Is it a year?
Yeah, it had to be a year.
We're in the studio, and we're live on Facebook, so if you want to join us on Facebook, it's Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Gladstone, G-L-A-D-S-T-O-N-E. And we are talking spring today.
Yay, finally.
May 1st.
Finally.
Finally. And we're going to... You have an agenda? You have an agenda today?
I have things I can talk about.
Things you want to talk about?
I do. So,
Char Barnes is here, and we're and Jean is sitting next to me. And
yes,
we haven't
I am.
Sat next to each other in a long time.
Haven't seen you in like it's a year. Yeah,
and the weather is kind of cold, and it's sunny, but it's kind of windy, and
yeah.
It was really windy yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing a home inspection. In the middle of the home inspection, the power went out, the generator turned on.
Perfect.
And it was just wonderful, but we didn't understand what was going on. And my immediate reaction is, where are all my guys? Did anybody get electrocuted? You know.
Yeah,
so
really.
I took attendance first and made sure no one was touching anything at the time. You know, because we take panel covers off, and I figured, oh my God, somebody twisted a panel cover and shut off the main or something. But it wasn't us. It was the street was out.
Yeah.
And I breathed a sigh of relief.
And because also, you also confirmed that the generator works.
Well, yes, that's true. The generator was working. It was, you know, it wasn't my house, so I wouldn't have known anyway. But the... we had like five guys on the inspection, and the two clients and their parents showed up, and two realtors. So there were a lot of people, more people than there should have been.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what I do with my rules, people break them.
You know, you need like an electrified fence.
Yeah,
everybody. That'll teach
everybody.
Them.
Keep it. And I really upset the mother-in-law because the family showed up with what looked like maybe a 1.5, 2-year-old. And I said, you can't bring that baby in the house. Why would you want to take a chance, even exposing them to us?
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than, you know, and bring the baby into the house. And she's holding the baby. And I said to her, listen, you really can't go in the house with the baby. And she got upset with me because I said it to her more than once.
And she didn't listen.
I don't know. Apparently she listened because she said, you don't need to say it to me more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt bad because, you know, here I am. I'm starting out an inspection and I'm kind of reprimanding people. But I sent notes. You know, I send a sample report to people and I send them the COVID-19 rules.
Right.
And then everybody seems to break it. So I don't think people read.
It's like that doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
you go everywhere
you
else.
Know,
we
tell people that two clients can come, so four people show up.
Of course,
you know, and we ask the realtor to open the door and sit in the car, but they never want to do that because they feel that they're not doing their job then. But all we're trying to do is keep everybody safe.
Yeah,
and the people that own the houses, they really don't even want us in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to limit things. And then we get the tenants who say, well, I'm just going to stay in my office and work on the computer during the inspection. And I say, oh, can't you just go for a ride?
Yeah, no kidding.
Because I don't know what the status is. You know, there are people who say that they've gotten vaccinated that haven't been vaccinated.
Sure.
And there are people that will never get vaccinated. And I just don't want to expose anybody to anything. Because the quarantining, as you've experienced, is no fun.
No kidding.
And, you know, whether it's a 14-day quarantine or somebody is sick in your house and you got to stay out of your house, this is all crazy stuff.
You should say, you know, this is a hard hat area. You cannot go beyond this line.
Yeah. That makes sense. You know,
yeah.
But
maybe that's what I need to do is bring hard hats. I'm sorry.
No.
I only have two.
Two. Yeah, really. Exactly.
Also, it's like the baby doesn't care. You know.
So. Oh, you didn't bring a helmet for the kid? Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, Wendy says it's 34 degrees in Pittsburgh and in Rochester. No roosters there. I'll happily send you one. I'll give it to you for free. All right. So it's the time of the year where pretty much everyone in my family gets excited because things are starting to bud up and bloom.
That's right.
And so I've invited you here to talk about anything that you want to talk about as far as garden preparation and things that we should be looking for. I've been talking about, you know, as far as my tips go, is getting ready for spring and organizing closets, you know, sheds and things.
Cleaning
to get
your tools.
Start sharpening things and stuff like that. But what kinds of things should people be, you know, focusing on now? Because in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done.
There's going to be a lot of work. And basically, one of the things you can focus on is kind of drawing it out and putting it in stages, because otherwise it's definitely going to be overwhelming. And a lot of people have bulbs and things, so to kind of clean up those areas and make them look prettier, because you got them in there, you might as well make them look as good. And also the other thing is, as things are leafing out, if you haven't already pruned them, it's a really, really good time to do it.
Pruning is a good time now.
For many things it is. Some things you can prune, most things you can prune whenever you want to, frankly. But as things are leafing out, you know what's alive and what's dead. So you want to prune out everything that's dead. And you want to think about the overall shape. And most things leaf out a lot more on the tips. So you can tell which branches aren't really going to be able to support the weight of what they're growing out. And also light and air in the center of a tree and a shrub is always a good idea. So don't be afraid. People are always very afraid to prune. And they always think they're going to do it wrong. Or they want to prune it into a perfect bulb, which isn't really great either.
I always feel badly.
I know.
I feel guilt that I'm cutting off an arm. I'm sorry. You're beautiful.
You can hear the plant screaming.
Yeah.
You know, it's really bad is if you're sowing seeds and you have to thin them out. It's like they're little plant babies and I have to pull them out and kill them.
It's like, oh my, it hurts me.
Yeah. I always tell people when they're planting seeds is don't overplant, you know, because nobody wants to pull out enough seedlings. Yeah, you know, you just don't want to.
No.
So it's like, you know, there's no real virtue in overplanting, so just don't do it. And we actually had seeds with the Garden Club, a Garden Club of Old Greenwich. We had a fundraiser where we gave away seeds, and I gave instructions, and I wanted to give the simplest instructions that I could, because they're always ridiculously complicated. And so we chose seeds that basically were quite large enough for normal people with normal fingers to handle, and also that can be sown directly outdoors, can be sown in a container in a cutting garden. And one of the things I say is, like, put the seeds in. There's no advantage to having too many of them. Put them at this distance apart. You know, just do it this way. And also, don't start them inside. If you can start them inside and you've done it before, then do it. But if this is the first time you're really trying to be successful with seeds, since second grade anyway, make it simple. Just plant them outside. They'll be fine. Just keep your eye out for them. And they won't be in bloom like they are at Home Depot right now, but they'll be wonderful that way. It's much, much easier.
The garden centers look wonderful right now.
They always look so wonderful.
They've got so much stuff out. Mm-hmm. But the prices.
I know. It's crazy.
You know, I was looking at, we were looking to buy another plum tree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went to several different garden places because I wanted to surprise my wife with with another tree. And they didn't have them. Mm-hmm. What I wanted, but I looked at some of the other trees, and the trees were priced at $200 and higher. And I started to think maybe I was in the wrong places, but realistically, a lot of those prices have gone way up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always check out Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't ever practically have what you want, but when they do have it, it's an incredibly good price.
Right.
So I actually bought some cherry trees for my house in Vermont. Told you I was quarantining in Vermont, and bought them there in August, which is still plenty cool to plant them. And I got them in August, but if you remember this time last year, you couldn't get anything in the nursery centers because everybody decided, well, I'm home, I might as well do some gardening.
Yeah.
And it was really tough. So I'm thinking that everybody must have, like the nurseries must have grown a lot of extra stuff, and they're just expecting another huge year of sales. So prices are way up. And
wow.
Yeah.
And there you go.
You would think it would be the opposite. You would think that there'd be some discounts and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're obviously betting on huge demand, and we'll see, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, this is the time of the year where my wife goes from Lowe's to Home Depot to wherever. She's shopping for the chickens and she's shopping for the gardens and planting flowers and stuff and looking at the, I have two pillars in front of my house with plants usually on top. So she's looking, how can I fill them so that they're going to look pretty and stuff? So I think that they're going to have another boom this season. I think that they're going to sell a lot of stuff because I don't remember going to Home Depot. I've been to Home Depot quite a few times as I was building the chicken coop and putting the additions and the renovations on the chicken coop. I have never been to Home Depot where it wasn't mobbed.
Yeah.
Absolutely mobbed, even if you go off hours and stuff like that. I would think that Lowe's and Home Depot have done a wonderful business during the pandemic because people are just looking at different parts of their house and saying, well, I'm home, I might as well fix this or I might as well hire somebody. And now suddenly the solar people are calling everybody.
Constantly.
And you know, if it wasn't for solar people calling and somebody wanting to extend my car warranty.
Yeah.
My phone.
Oh, that was me I called.
My phone is
sorry.
My phone is just ringing off the hook. We've really considered getting rid of the home line because it's nothing but sales things.
Right. We never answer the home line. Ever.
Really?
Unless I can see the name of it,
right,
I recognize
right.
the name.
Or the number.
That's maybe once every 5 days.
Really?
Yeah, we thought about getting rid of it too, but the thing is we have our phone number is kind of like all the frequent shopper things and a lot of other ID things. I just don't want somebody else to have it. So that's why we have a phone still. But yeah, it's just annoying now.
Yeah. See, I have it hooked to the alarm system, so it's calling the monitoring system or they're calling in to us if the alarm goes off. And also the kids have all that, you know, that's the number they use if they're calling the house.
I just look at where they're from.
And
I figure, you know, no, I don't think I know anybody in Uruguay. Who's calling here, you know?
Well, but they've gotten smart with that stuff. They end up with, you know, faking the numbers and it looks like local numbers. Sometimes it looks like I'm calling myself.
You know,
it's all a game. But you would think that the phone company would be able to stop that.
I think they
encourage it more than anything else.
Who else uses their service? Honestly, for the car and the Nigerian princes and things like that.
The technology is there. Yeah. I mean, you know, come on. You can't do that, you know?
I'm annoyed at the iPhone, too, because I have the phone and I get calls there and I'm getting spam calls there. But there's not a very easy way to just say spam to a call. You have to go through, do the ID, say block this caller.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like three menus to get through it.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's worth your time blocking something because they just keep changing their numbers and the number, you know, and it's a machine that's calling. It's not, you know, as soon as they hear a voice on the line, then it transfers to some call center.
Well, the thing is, if you hear, if there's a space between the time you pick it up and, you know, like a second or two,
you might as well just
hang up. It's a robo, you know?
You might as well just hang up.
Yeah.
And the scams, everybody's got to be really careful with the scams right now because they're hot and heavy. You know, you never know what people are getting roped into. When you hear about these poor people that have wasted thousands of dollars because they got a call from some faux grandson who's in jail, and you got to help me out, Grandma. And I had a kid who called me up and says, Grandpa. I said, yes. How can I help you? Would you like me to pay for your college? What do you want? I'm in trouble. I said, that's too bad.
And I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Wish your parents raised you better.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Around the House, and we've got Char Barnes here, who is a master gardener, and we're talking spring. Green Solutions Landscaping and Tree Services is a licensed and insured full-service provider of landscaping, tree removal, masonry, snow removal, and other property maintenance projects. Green Solutions has been serving Fairfield County since 2011 and is operated and managed by Bernal Mora. Green Solutions offers its customers a comprehensive suite of services which will make your property something to be proud of all year long. At Green Solutions, we treat your property as if it was our own. We provide free estimates and references upon request. And they get involved with property management, seasonal cleanups, weeding, pruning, mulching, weekly mowing, planting, grass seeding and sod, irrigation systems, lawn aeration, gutter cleanup, poison ivy removal, masonry, tree removal, fencing, firewood, installation of Christmas lights, and landscaping construction projects, and even snow removal during the winter. So if you want to give them a call, it's 203-400-4949. That's 203-400-4949. www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. That's a mouthful. So www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. And once again, 203-400-4949. David Baker, Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, providing all types of flooring solutions from initial design through expert installation, located in Fairfield and New Haven counties. His success is being able to connect with his customers. He makes buying floors easy, safe, and effortless, striving to provide a different experience from anything else that people have ever experienced before. He's part of Floor Coverings International, an organization with over 115 locations throughout the U.S. and Canada, offering a wide selection of flooring products in several price ranges, including carpet, hardwood, natural stone, ceramic tile, laminate flooring, vinyl, specialty materials, and eco-friendly selections, including renewable, sustainable hardwood products, natural linoleum, cork, and bamboo. What makes them different is they bring the store to you. So you call and make an appointment at 203-386-1776, and he brings the mobile display room to your door. And he'll bring in the samples, show you what you need to know, and you pick it, he measures it, and they'll come and install it. He brings the store to your door and inspiration to your feet. That's Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, 203-386-1776.
And now here's Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
And we're back. And so you're having a big plant sale?
We're having a big plant sale. We didn't have it last year. We've had it every day before Mother's Day for decades. And so we're kind of excited to be back. It's really nice. And everybody's been digging up plants and trying to...
What a terrible time to have a plant sale before Mother's Day.
Oh, huh? It's a brilliant time to have a plant sale.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things is we have... when you walk when you walk in, one of our designers who does a lot of floral design and her little crew of designers, they make Mother's Day baskets, and they're just beautiful. And everybody walks in, it's like,
sure.
Oh, that's so gorgeous!
Oh, I gotta get that! Yeah. Oh yeah! Oh,
yeah, definitely. And they're really beautiful.
Do you like, ship? Yeah. Do you ship?
No, we do not. They're there.
Because
you
then
buy
you could solve a lot of problems.
Do you deliver?
No. So honestly, too, they're. We have a lot of them there in the morning, but people snap them up right away. And so, like, you know, by around noon, it's beginning to look a little peaked there, you know, and they have huge tables.
Has it ever happened, like, with clothing, the trends? Well, that isn't hot anymore. You know, people want this now as a plant.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah, it changes a lot. And that's one of the things is when people put things in and they get really into an idea, they don't realize, this is a fad. You know, this is a fashion. It's like when you've been doing it for a million years, you see them come and go. But, you know, there's all these things that are supposed to be low maintenance. And it's like, there's no such thing as low maintenance.
No, everything requires work.
Exactly. Yeah.
And or they die.
Right, you have to know what you're doing for that particular style, too. Right now, people love this idea of meadows. And one of the first things is you can't have a meadow that's 18 inches wide. You know, it just doesn't work.
That's a meadow.
Yes. Yeah.
Meadow.
And, you know, you can see right through it all the time. And they're always very tall plants. And then you can't really just let them go. There's this idea of, oh, you can just let things seed themselves naturally. It's like, yeah, poison ivy's going to seed there too.
Yeah.
You know? And also this is, you know, this is, we live in a place where trees want to grow. You know,
yeah,
it's like, if
yeah,
there's no trees growing there, it's because you did something
right,
to them.
Right.
And they just keep on sprouting up, and there's all sorts of things. And a lot of nice things grow, but a lot of not so nice things grow too. I'm very sensitive to poison ivy.
Me too.
Yeah. And it just gets worse and worse every year. So
it seems that way.
Yeah.
I try and I try never to lean on a tree.
A good idea.
Never to lean on a tree. No matter how pretty the tree is, I see vines, I stay away from it. And I point out poison ivy on almost every job that I see it.
Oh, and it's everywhere.
So because people don't even know what it looks like.
It's
and
so
they're all
pretty.
And they're all telling me, oh, it's got to be red leaves. And that's not true.
Oh, it can be very different in different spots. When it's in the shade growing up a tree, it's got a distinctive look. But when there's small ones just kind of peeking around your garden, they look quite different. And they are really, really pretty, too.
Yeah.
Which
well,
is
you should,
a big
that's
problem.
What you should do. You should tell the people who are coming in, you know, there's a lot of poison ivy here. And, you know, you might want to stay away.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is that when you have it, once it takes over, there isn't a lot you can do. You know, you have to spray it. I mean, it's like if you want to get rid of it, because some people are not sensitive at all. If you can find one of them and get them to dig it out.
I find that a lot of landscapers seem to be not allergic to it, which is really interesting. A lot of South Americans it's very interesting.
I've read something.
Who's allergic and who's not, but I am hyper allergic.
I am too.
And Sandy will go around with a plastic bag over her hand and pull the stuff, but inevitably we both get it.
That's not good. Not a good thing.
It was in March, and I was gardening in one of the places the club takes care of, and it's by a hill by the highway, which they just clear cut. And so in March, with no greenery whatsoever and wearing boots and long pants, I walked through there. And at some point, I must have brushed against some dead poison ivy. And I got a horrible rash on my shins. You know, it was like, it was crazy. You know, it's like, it's March. There was literally nothing you could see. I always assumed I was safe during March. But now, no, it just takes one little stick that's still has the sap in it. It doesn't have to be green. And it can really wreak havoc on you. So.
And we buy this ointment that you can use that works really well, but it's $40 for a little tiny tube.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
I've tried the
Zanfil, it's called, or something like that.
I've tried the one that's supposed to protect you from it in the first place, and I find that just doesn't work at all.
The only way to protect yourself is Tyvek suits or staying out of the woods.
And
completely.
A flamethrower.
Yeah,
a flamethrower would work.
I have read that the poison in poison ivy is really only poisonous to humans, and there's no evolutionary reason for it. It just is something that the plant developed, and like sheep can eat it. You know, all sorts of other animals can eat it, and it's really only humans that it bothers. And then not all humans, apparently, either. So it's kind of odd. It's just like one of those random things. Because usually when a plant is poisonous, it's poisonous to a huge group of animals that would eat it. And these aren't really
It's just an oil that's an irritant.
Yeah.
Is that the same with poison sumac and all the...
They all have the same chemical, I don't know how to pronounce it, urushiol or something like that.
Yeah.
But I guess once you see the word poison in front of whatever you're buying,
lots
you should be aware of that.
It's a warning, yes.
Lots of plants are truly poisonous, though, and they advertise the fact they're poisonous. You know, they have all the red on them usually, and they taste terrible, and they don't punish you just for getting near it either, for the most part. But mangoes, the skin of mangoes has the same chemical that's in poison ivy.
Because my daughter is so allergic to mangoes.
Yeah. Well, there's your answer.
Yeah. If you can stay away from the skin, I find. But if you try it, like my husband's family's from Trinidad and they eat mangoes all the time. And if you
married a man from the islands?
He was not from the islands. His father was from the islands, actually. But when you cut it, when you cut mangoes there, it's like you don't peel them and slice them up. You just kind of cut it in half, score the flesh, and turn it inside out and eat it.
Right.
And the skin sometimes bothers me even when I eat it that way. It's nothing like walking into a poison ivy field, but it's still there.
That's too much work for me. with my food.
Oh.
You know,
yeah,
really?
When they're good, they're so good.
Yeah, mango can be really great.
I got to use a knife and a fork.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I still have memories of Martinique and having mangoes and fresh fruit and stuff like that. It was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember the first time I had one, I was a kid, and we went to Hawaii, and they were not available in any grocery store anywhere at that point. You know, and,
really?
Yeah, well, it was a million years ago before they started flying them in from South America. So, they're so delicious. But, you know, most plants, like I said, they advertise the fact that they're poisonous. And the first way they do that is by tasting terrible. And one of my very favorite plants to grow is notoriously poisonous. I think it's kind of the most poisonous plant out there. It's called a castor bean.
Castor oil type of thing?
You know, I think it is.
Derivative of somewhere?
Yeah, but the thing is about the beans, it's called Ricinus communis. Pretty sure that's how you pronounce it, but the key word there is ricin.
This is the source of ricin.
That's the one that everybody gets poisoned by.
Yeah, that's right, and that's it's the one that will absolutely kill
that's
you.
The most toxic of all the poisons out there.
Yeah, and it's a great plant. It's really beautiful.
That would steer me away from it, right, just from knowing that.
For breakfast.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
And it doesn't
not.
Bother you to touch it or anything like that. It's really beautiful. It grows to be 6 feet tall and has leaves the size of dinner plates. And the flowers are very, very cool. I mean, the seed beds are very cool.
Did they grow here or was this something?
It's tender, but sometimes the seeds will winter over. And they're incredibly easy to plant, too, because they're huge seeds. So they're a wonderful plant, but they're very, very poisonous. And I think it's like if you eat 3 of the beans and chew them, you're gone.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a strict diet.
You think there'd be a tremendous market for that.
Yeah.
But they do taste terrible because they're poisonous, and they're not trying to hide the fact that they're poisonous. And I have noticed that we had deer for a while. They seem to have dissipated in our area, but they would come by and they'd nibble on one of the leaves, and that was it. They never came back for more. So
I keep telling them, don't go near the bushes. Mm-hmm. Don't eat that. So where do you find that? Is that...
You can get the seeds. Well, you certainly can get them through seed catalogs. Often in kind of hardware stores and nurseries, they'll have them there. And, you know, it's like, it is poisonous, but lots of plants are much more poisonous. Lily of the Valley is another one. Extremely poisonous.
To humans only, or is it just in general?
Oh, just in general, which is why no animals eat them. That's why you can have them in areas where there's deer. If you remember the show Breaking Bad, there are two poisons that were referred to in that show, and one of them was ricin, which is from the castor bean, and the other one was Lily of the Valley, and he poisoned a kid with Lily of the Valley berries. So
he did.
Yeah. So it was a
So much information on this show.
There you go.
It's
really
just so
was.
Useful. Right in for a recipe.
But like I said, if animals don't eat it, chances are it's poisonous.
Yeah.
So, or at least
dogs.
Or it doesn't taste good.
Yeah, dogs will eat anything. But I mean, just, you know.
My dogs won't eat any.
We just got two dogs during the pandemic.
Did you? What'd you get?
Norwegian Elkhounds, which is the type of dog I grew up with.
Is that a big dog? Sounds like
it. It's a medium-sized dog. It's like a smaller, it looks a lot like a smaller German Shepherd with a very curly tail.
Oh, man.
They're such sweet dogs.
Lucky you. Yeah. You got two of them.
Got one.
Because one is never enough.
They like each other so much. And the one was very hard to walk because he's, you know, they're hunting dogs and they don't want to be on a leash kind of going in the little path that you are going. And it got to be very hard to do it. And then we got the other one, and they just run around the back garden all the time. And they're just beautiful to watch.
I got to tell you, I don't like to be on a leash either.
I don't.
I want to sniff everything.
Exactly. The other thing is I don't want to pick up after a dog because you're taking it on a walk. You know, it's like they all go in the same place, and it's really not bad, and I don't go back there anyway.
And the bigger the dog, you know, the bigger the pile. So.
That was one of our thoughts when we were getting them. We wanted one to be big enough. It had to be. You know, we have a house in Vermont, and so it had to be hardy enough to deal with a house in the mountains in Vermont. And so the little dogs were all out of the question, but the other one was like, okay, bigger dog, bigger poops.
That's right. Poop patrol.
All right, so let's talk about this plant sale because we keep drifting off of it. How do people get involved in that?
Well, it's going to be on Saturday, next week, and it's going to be from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock at the Eastern Greenwich Civic Center, and on Harding Road, and it's going to be there, and we're taking a lot of care about social distancing and try to make it work for everybody. So unfortunately, we're not having a bake sale just because it's too complicated to deal with the food.
Yeah,
and we started
sure.
planning for this in February. We had no idea what was going to happen, what things would be like. And so we've been working at it. We have started digging up plants from our garden, which all of us needed to do because we didn't do it last year. And then bit by bit, we've been kind of adding to it as the circumstances allowed. First, we were going to have it outside. Now it's going to be inside, and we're going to have the big tables with all the plants. And at first, we weren't going to have Mother's Day baskets. And then we said, okay, we got to have the Mother's Day baskets. And
I would think that that would be a big seller.
It's a good seller.
Yeah.
It really
because,
is.
Because, you know, husbands are constantly thinking, what should I do?
Right.
I
got
to do something. I'm going to get in trouble. And husbands are constantly forgetting that that's not the mother.
My father said, she's not my mother.
Yeah, you kids get the presents.
Right. Well, the thing that is very popular there for the Mother's Day baskets is fathers come in with their kids, and they let the kids choose it. And it's a very sweet moment.
And
actually,
I picked it myself, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's really good fun. We're so happy to be doing it because we didn't do it last year. And it's a time we get to spend with the community and get to share what we know and get to tell them why.
How big is the group?
Our group, there's about 60 active members.
60?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big group.
Wow.
It's a big group, and people really love it. We take care of all of the, all the flowers in the village and a couple of other places. We just started last year a garden at the island that they put in the Traffic Island, basically in a parking lot that they put by the train station, and it's such an ugly wall. They had to put a big wall up to create more parking, and the Metro North won't let us plant anything on the wall, like no vines, nothing other than grass. And so there's an island, and we decided we're going to put a garden there, and we put some big pots so when people were walking off the train, they would walk through this.
They'd have something to throw their cigarette butts at.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah. Throw the newspaper away.
Yeah, and they grew really, really well because there was nobody walking back and forth from the train. So they were undisturbed. So they look really, really great now.
That was a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So that's the type of thing that we take care of. And we also do, we have a butterfly garden at Greenwich Point. And, you know, we're trying to get really into the idea of telling people about natives, about pollinator plants and the pollinator pathway, trying to, you know, you need to take care of your pollinators because, you know, if there's no flowers and
after
there's only
that,
lawn,
yeah.
there's nothing for them to eat.
Yeah, what are we going to do if there's no pollinators? I mean, that's
it's bad. It also means that there's no birds. It means that there are certain insects that pollinators eat those too. You know, a lot of them are carnivorous. And it's going to be bad. It's like all sorts of, there are things in the ecosystem you just don't understand them until that one piece of it is gone.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, with global warming, there are problems because there are pollinators that feed mostly off of one flower that has one season. But now that it's getting warmer, those trees and flowers bloom much earlier. And the pollinator is migrating, and they migrate based on day length usually, whereas the flowers flower based on temperature. So they're beginning to be a disconnect now. So there's really not much you can do about that. You know, try and get ones with extended seasons, and sometimes they will adjust to another one, or they will adjust to some sort of hybrid or different version of the species. But if not, there's really nothing you can do about it.
That's going to have a big, big impact mm-hmm. on everything. It'll just spread.
Well, one of the good things has been that a lot of people are getting into raising bees.
That is true.
And, you know, they may be going for the honey, but the bottom line is the more people are cultivating bees, mm-hmm. the more pollinators that are going to be out there, because the bees are really important to mm-hmm. almost every aspect of the plants.
And not just the honeybees, which aren't even native to the area, but they do so much work here. But there's other, like ground bees are out right now, and the little yellow fuzzy guys that fly about.
I remember.
Yeah, but you're smiling. Most people are not thrilled about the bees flying out of their yard.
I have to say the only thing I've ever been stung by, other than mosquitoes, in my garden is yellow jackets.
Yeah.
Those are the only thing. They're They're out to get you. But everything else is like, it definitely wants you to leave it alone.
Yeah.
There are a lot of bees that are territorial. Mm-hmm. And if you enter their territory, right, they're going to defend that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially if you cut their flowers, they definitely, a lot of
I'm sure they love
well,
that.
Well, you know, I'm always telling guys when we have a Mediterranean roof mm-hmm. to be very careful where they're putting the ladder, because there are so many nooks and crannies where bees are apt to be nesting,
mm-hmm.
Just like in the attic with the wasps in the louvers. We see certain things all the time mm-hmm. that are potentially dangerous to them.
Right.
You know, mud wasps, no big deal, but yellow jackets are quite mean.
They are very mean. Well, the other problem is with allergies. There's really only one way to find out if you're allergic to bee stings.
To get stung. Yeah.
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 So. All right, we need to take a break. You're listening to Around the House, and we're talking spring today. So many times when people are moving into their new place, they ask me, who should I use for painting? And that's an easy answer for me. It's Jonathan's Painting Service. Jonathan does both interior and exterior, both residential and commercial painting. He's helped me out in several conditions around my house and at the firehouse. And we've referred him to a lot of people and gotten excellent testimonials back in regard to his workmanship. He's up to about 15 guys and about 5 trucks, so he's doing real well. JonathanPainting.com or 203-540-1533. 203-540-1533. Jonathan's Painting Service. As I said, he's fully insured and fully licensed. They are one of the best painting services out there. Attention to detail is really an important aspect of Jonathan's work, and they clean up after themselves, and I absolutely feel that he's the right choice if you're looking for a painting service. Jonathan's Painting Service, 203-540-1533. If you're thinking about fuel oil or propane, you want to be thinking about New England Total Energy. They have 11 trained service technicians. I meet with them on my jobs on a regular basis now because they come and inspect the heating systems when we're doing home inspections for us. New England Total Energy, they also sell electric services, do energy audits, and have the best service group that you could ask for. So if you are contemplating a service contract for your equipment, if you've got air conditioning equipment that you're going to put to sleep for the colder months, you want to give them a call at 203-869-5869, 203-869-5869, your full-service fuel oil company. And once again, it's 203-869-5869. If you're buying a home, selling a home, or just living in a home and wondering if it's falling apart around you, you should call Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections. We look at roofs, crawl spaces, basements, and attics with over 35 years of experience in Fairfield and Westchester counties. We are the best-looking inspectors you can hire. And we do water testing, radon, mold testing, and pool inspections as well. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. That's 800-356-9611. Or check out our testimonials at stonehollow.com, Angie's List, and Yelp. If this is your first home or you've had a bunch, we will help you to better understand conditions, maintenance needs, and safety items to protect you and your family. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. Call today.
And now you have Steve Gladstone at Around the House.
All right, we're back, and I need to talk about budget blinds for a minute. So budget blinds of Stamford, Greenwich,
Norwalk.
I heard that someone else has Norwalk in.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I think he's got Rowayton and he's got Darien and New Canaan, but I'm not sure about Wilton and
really?
Norwalk. Yeah, he had a guest on yesterday on my on my networking thing, and she said that she had Wilton and Norwalk. So we'll have to find out.
Hmm.
But anyway, if you are in need of covering up your naked windows, you want to call Budget Blinds, and they will come to your house with their Sprinter van with all the displays and different ideas about how you can cover your windows. And he will carefully measure, which is probably the trickiest thing in covering up your windows with blinds or drapes or plantation blinds. I have those automated blinds that I can just take a remote and just open and close the ones in the kitchen, which is wonderful because the glare that comes in there sometimes is unbelievable. And they'll carefully measure, order what you want, and when it gets delivered, Victor shows up in the other vehicle, and he and I put together, we both, I helped him out because I brought in a different ladder in my, you know, because I have a two-story kitchen. So I had to bring in a bigger ladder, and I helped him out when we were putting up the automated blinds because I was replacing older ones that were not functioning as well, and the new ones are much better. He does such a great job, and he cleans up after himself. So people are going to be really happy with the service that they get because they can choose from all the different designer blinds and a lot of different companies that manufacture this stuff. You don't have to go to the store. You don't have to measure. You don't have to install it. All of those things are taken care of, 1, 2, 3. And they've got this first 5-year, no questions asked, warranty that I think even if they're dirty, you could ask for them to be replaced. I don't think too many people abuse that, but we had some damages at the firehouse, and they actually replaced everything that Harold had put in. They came back and they put all new stuff in, and that was 3 years later. So it's pretty phenomenal that they honor that warranty. So what you want to do is you want to give them a call at 203-580-3362. Did you get that?
I think we need to hear it again.
203-580-3362. Andrew Bogdan is the owner of the company, and it's Budget Blinds. Tell him that you heard about it on Around the House, and he'll at least know that his advertising dollars are working. All right, we're here with Char Barnes, and she is a master gardener, and she is telling us about her big sale that's happening next week.
Yep.
From
8 o'clock to 2 o'clock at the Eastern Greenwich Civic Center on Harding Road.
So maybe we'll remember to say that next week and help you out.
You can also go to our website at www.gardenog.org.
Garden OG for Old Greenwich. Okay. .org.
.org. We just changed that. It used to be Garden Club of Old Greenwich, and you had to type
too much
in the
trouble.
Yeah.
Too much trouble. I have New England School of Home Inspection. You have to type the whole thing out. It's too much. It's too much. I probably lose people that way.
I don't know. I think it's growing. I see a lot of websites that have
that are longer.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is when you do it, if you do you get the domain, and you can have it so that both of them work. So you can have a pithy one, and that one works, and
but
a really long
but when
one
I tell
works.
People to go on NESHI, they, what?
Yeah. What? Nahishi, what was that?
Yeah. Garden OG is pretty easy to remember.
Yeah,
so
that's
really happy that's with good. That.
And once you start typing it in, it'll populate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. But, you know, there are a lot of home inspection schools across the country. Mm-hmm. And when I type in mine, three other advertisements pop up on top of it. And we have the only school that is brick and mortar in Connecticut. But several other people are paying to have me not be number one.
Yeah. So, well, often they'll just they'll buy, like, 40 or 50 different names, too. So if you get anywhere close to it, they'll come.
I did that for a while. It doesn't make any sense.
It's ridiculous.
It really
to do
doesn't.
That.
This is a game with the internet.
But now they're $3 each for the names or something.
Well, I mean, some of them.
But no matter what you come up with, as clever as it may be, somebody can change one letter and it's different.
But that's the way it is.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. All right, so Wendy says that she's been wintering some geraniums and hardening them now to go outdoors. Should she be feeding them with plant food outdoors, or should she put spikes in?
Okay, that's a really good question. If you had kept a plant indoors, it will live for the winter. And often if you have a really great plant, it's worth doing that, even if it doesn't look great all winter, because you can get it outside. And glad to hear she's hardening it off, which is the process of acclimatizing it to the out of doors, which means you bring it out for longer and longer periods. Most plants that are tender do not like 40 degree nights, and they'll generally live, but they'll kind of resent it and let you know.
Great, you got to deal with that now.
Yeah. Another thing resenting me.
Oh, my God. You have a teenager.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't fertilize it until it's obvious that it's growing. Okay, because when it's cold and when you're in the process of hardening out, it's a fair bit of stress and it really doesn't need the food at that point, and it could encourage a little bit of growth when it's too tender. But that'll happen in a couple of weeks. You know, that's when I would do it.
That's called hardening?
Hardening off, yeah. And it's just to acclimatize it, you know, because it's been indoors where it's dry, which is probably not great, but it's constant temperature between 60 and 72, and it's just not used to fluctuations. And most tender plants will live if it's not freezing, but they basically sit there and sulk until it gets warmer. It's true with a lot of seedlings,
good,
too.
Now, are we really attaching human traits to all of these plants?
Well,
we're saying they're experiencing stress and they're sulking. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
We have a garden with an attitude.
That's
right. You know, come on.
And they're not as good as dogs, but you know, they give you that warm, fuzzy feedback. You know,
they're cleaner, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
This is true with a lot of people with seedlings, too, and they'll plant seeds a bit too early, which I frankly kind of recommend because you don't have to worry about it again. But they often will not sprout until the soil is about 60 degrees, but they're fine. They're there. And then they won't start growing until the temperature gets to be at least 55 at night. And they just kind of sit there. They don't do anything, but they're absolutely fine. They will grow. And they just want want things a bit more to their liking. But they will survive.
Have anybody ever figured out why when spring comes the plants know it's spring and start,
It's temperature, isn't it?
It's mostly temperature. It does depend a bit on the plant. Some are sensitive to day length or to changes in day length, but obviously if it's completely underground,
right,
it doesn't know that. But it's almost all soil temperature, which can really vary from place to place. We sold the garden club sold a bulb last fall called Camassia, and it's a beautiful, beautiful blue bulb that's native to the Washington area, and it's very, very sensitive to soil temperature. I have it in places in my garden where it's barely spreading out. There are places that are a bit higher and in direct sun near stone, and they're already in bloom. So it's a lot of things are very, very sensitive. And what happens in the summertime, sometimes it's just temperature. A lot of plants are sensitive to day length. So.
Interesting. Okay.
We're having a real problem where we've got a euonymus, mm-hmm, that just keeps on growing and growing and, mm-hmm, growing. It started out as a little tiny plant.
Right.
And now it is covering three of the windows of my dining area.
Was it a vine or something?
It's a shrub of sorts, mm-hmm, but it's unbelievable. I have pruned it back a zillion times, mm-hmm, where I've cut massive amounts of it off, bags and bags of cuttings off it, and this thing just keeps on going.
Mm-hmm. Flamethrower. Another,
you
I'm telling you.
Work?
Yeah. Get them at Lowe's. You know.
When I'm cutting back something evergreen, I cut it back way below where I want it to be. And because it grows, you can tell how much they grow every year.
But this thing is like 15 feet tall
now.
It's crazy.
And it has a root structure that's going to support a plant that big, so it will get that big.
Right.
If you wanted to be really hardcore about it, you could root prune it. You know, just kind of put your spade around the roots and dig up some of the roots so it has a little less, you know, a little less ability to feed and grow, but that's a lot of work.
It's not worth it to me.
And you can't
what we've been
any
doing
time.
is taking cuttings off it and, mm-hmm, planting it in other places, because if this thing is so hardy, mm-hmm, I can use it as a hedge.
Right. Oh, it's brilliant
it's
for that.
Unbelievable how fast, mm-hmm, it grows. And I really lucked out last year because this winter wasn't that bad, mm-hmm, that my skip laurels have all survived.
Excellent.
Without getting burned.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tremendous right now. They really, you know, these things have grown easily 3 feet over the.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Really.
I find that they need an adjustment period. You know, that they're all grown, like most plants are grown in warmer places, and they're much more protected from the wind. And I find that once they get through a certain stage, they will get some windburn, but they won't have the massive leaf drop that they often have the first couple of years.
Well, the first couple of years, they were fairly large, very expensive mm-hmm. skip laurels, but they did not do well the first year.
Right.
I wrapped them in burlap, and that it seemed that wrapping them in burlap was a mistake.
Yeah, I never buy large plants anymore because they have a root structure. They've been kept on life support in a tiny pot. They really aren't great at sending their roots out because they've all been in the pot and they've all had perfect moisture their entire lives. And they just have a big root mass, but it doesn't
spread out. So basically they're lazy?
They're lazy and they're decadent.
Shiftless.
You need to put them, whip them back into shape. But if you get them smaller, though, the root mass isn't so big, and so it won't have that core where they never grow out of.
Interesting.
Like if you dig up a big plant that's even 5 or 10 years old, the center of it will still be a bunch of roots that are kind of growing into each other, and you'll be able to see all the peat moss that they were growing in. And so, but when you get a smaller plant, it just works much, much better. And frankly, in 3 or 4 years, you're not going to tell the difference.
I have like a bunch of spider plants,
mm-hmm.
all right, which I love. I think they're great.
Like indoor plants?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all I do is water them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else I do or how much water they should be taking. They're surviving on their own despite of my help, you know. I try, is once a week enough? I don't know how you judge that.
If it looks good, it's good.
Okay.
It's really that simple. The thing about houseplants is they can survive on pretty minimal water, a lot of them. Often they will just do better if there's more water. Often during the winter time, people tend to overwater them because the plant gets a lot less daylight during the winter, so it doesn't need to grow. It doesn't have the ability to absorb the sun to grow.
Is that why the leaves turn yellow? Is that too much, or is that not enough?
That's generally too much if it doesn't drain. But
water,
you won't suddenly get too much water. Okay, it's like if it's been perfectly happy in the pot and the drainage in the pot for a long time, it's not going to suddenly say, "Oh no, this is too much water," and turn yellow. I really do personify plants a lot, don't I? But
I talk to my plants.
Yeah. Well,
I do.
Well, you should. So.
Maybe I shouldn't say that on the phone.
They talk back.
That's the problem.
That's the scary part, yeah.
But as long as it's happy, it's happy. And, you know, don't overthink it. You know, if it looks good. And the little spider plant babies, usually if you want to plant those, you need to keep it quite consistently moist, just so the roots know there's going to be moisture when they break out. But if it's happy, it's happy. And the other thing with houseplants is consistent watering is better than perfect watering. Okay,
really?
Yeah, because when they dry out completely, you always do lose a bit of the root tip, always, because it just dies, and they're the very, very sensitive part that absorbs the water, and it will just spent that energy to make those root tips, and then they died, so it has to do it all over again. So they will grow better if you have consistent watering.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
one of my plants is like, it's a long leaf, kind of thin, mm-hmm. and it goes...
Like straight up. They're kind of a little bit waxy, the leaves?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know the name of it. They call it a mother-in-law's tongue.
Oh. How lovely.
Isn't
that lovely?
Common names are so awful.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got music playing in the background, which means that we're going to be breaking for the news and the weather. And we'll come back for another hour with Sharp Arms. And we're talking plants and spring and having fun. Stay with us.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brandon Gunn. California is increasing early release credits for 76,000 inmates, including violent and repeat felons, as it further trims the population of what once was the nation's largest state correctional system. More than 63,000 inmates convicted of violent crimes will be eligible for good behavior credits that shorten their sentences by one-third. The changes were approved this week by the State Office of Administrative Law with almost no public notice. Critics say this move will put more Californians at risk. The Florida legislature passed a bill this week that would forbid social media companies like Facebook or Twitter to ban elected officials from communicating on their platforms. Governor Ron DeSantis has pledged to sign the bill. The move comes 3 months after social media giants YouTube and Twitter removed former President Donald Trump from their platforms, a decision which many commentators warn could indicate that big tech has too much power over political speech. This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services, you get a huge network of doctors, you get great customer support, and you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Biden talks schools opening in the fall. Tim Berg has more.
President Biden believes schools should be open for 5-day-a-week in-person learning in the fall, despite the fact that children likely will not be vaccinated by then. Biden telling NBC's Today Show,
based on the science and the CDC, they should probably all be open. There's not overwhelming evidence that there's much of a transmission among these people, young people.
Teachers' unions, mainly those in major coastal cities, have resisted reopening schools for much of the 2020-2021 school year, refusing to return teachers to classrooms until a variety of demands, some of which are not directly related to COVID, have been met. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Two storm systems from the Gulf will result in wet, stormy weather for parts of the South and plains into next week. Possibility of flash floods in parts of Texas and Louisiana. Find us on the web at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and I want to tell you that arthritis is not a genetic thing. It's not a disease of aging. Neither is osteoporosis. Get a hold of my book. It's All in Your Head. It goes into the 25 different diseases you get when you have osteoporosis of the skull. These are all reversible. You take the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, the MSM, vitamin D3, stay away from all the bad foods, including gluten, and guess what? You'll regrow all your bones, including your skull and your legs and your hips and everything else. Contact us at usaradiohealth.com. That's usaradiohealth.com.
The man known as America's mayor is claiming he's innocent. USA's Wendy King has details.
One day after his New York City apartment and office were raided by the FBI and electronic devices were seized, President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says it's unfair. According to Giuliani's lawyer, the feds are trying to find out whether he was working as a foreign agent for clients in the Ukraine while he was pressuring the government to investigate Hunter Biden. On Fox News, Giuliani denied he did anything wrong.
I can tell you, I never, ever represented a foreign national. In fact, I have in my contracts a refusal to do it. I've never represented a Ukrainian national or official before the United States government. I've declined it several times. I've had contracts in countries like Ukraine. In the contract is a clause that says I will not engage in lobbying or foreign representation.
Former U.S. Attorney Chuck Rosenberg said Giuliani is simply making things up.
When Mr. Giuliani said, well, you know, they need to be able to demonstrate that I would have destroyed evidence or altered it in some way, absolutely, completely false.
From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
Check us out online at usaradio.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Brandon Gunzel.
Hi, this is Patrick Collins from the Department of Public Works, here to let you know that Household Hazardous Waste Day is this Saturday, May 1st, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., rain or shine.
Hey, Patrick, that sounds great, but what exactly is Household Hazardous Waste?
I'm glad you asked, Nicole. Household Hazardous Waste are products that have accumulated around your home that can be harmful to your health and the environment.
You mean items such as pool chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, stains, thinners, gasoline, and paints?
You are correct.
Oil base and latex paint, Patrick?
Yes, Nicole. This year's event, we will be accepting all types of paint.
So the event is at Island Beach parking lot from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yes, we ask residents to be patient, stay in your vehicle, show proof of residency to the folks who will greet you in line. We expect 150% capacity this year, and there will be a wait time for an hour or more.
Okay, I'll see you at Household Hazardous Waste Day this Saturday, May 1st, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Island Beach parking lot.
Great, see you then.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
I just did a John Oliver thing. I was banging on my legs instead of on the table. Have you ever seen his show?
I like your show.
News of the Week. What was it called?
The Last Week News or something like that. Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah. He's hysterical.
He is very funny. Yeah. I mean, you look at that show, he's talking for the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. But he's also talking about very topical things that are important to talk about.
But it's all him for the entire show.
And he manages to maintain a lot of passion for an entire half hour.
Energy. Does a great job.
Yeah. Well, I like it when he goes into deep dives about things too. You know, it's just very interesting. It's not just a superficial, glib comment of you need to be careful of that.
And he connects things together.
No, it's a problem.
He explains things, and he's really quite good. You know what? I was watching yesterday. I was watching comedians having coffee.
In cars,
That was so funny. He had Colbert on, and he had a couple of other people on. It was really funny.
I have to give
a restaurant review, though.
Okay.
Because
first one in a long time.
Tawa has changed their orientation a little bit. They're still serving the Indian food in part of the restaurant, but they have developed this Club London, which is the bar part of Tawa.
Ah, okay.
That they have music now, and we went to a little grand opening party the other night, and it was an open bar with samples of their now bar food, which is a really interesting little twist on a little bit of Indian food and a little bit of regular bar fare with wings and fish and chips and stuff like that.
Really?
But if you want an interesting evening out, they're on Glenbrook Road in Stamford, and my friend Jay and his wife own this restaurant, and the food is wonderful. I mean, I've never been to a restaurant as many times as I've been to this restaurant. Just because the food is consistently wonderful.
Well, I thought it might be you lost your keys.
No. I was very pleased to find that my wife is really into Indian food, both South and North Indian cuisines. And so we go there quite a bit. And their mulligatawny soup is extraordinary.
Okay.
It's just extraordinary. I mean,
Is it spicy or not?
It's not that spicy.
Little kick.
That's a little bit, but you can order down this stuff. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, some people are afraid of Indian food, but most of the stuff that we get there is not particularly spicy. But I like to order things with mango chutney and the rice and some vegetable dishes.
Not to be mistaken with ricin, which is a different thing altogether.
Correct. So if you want to have a really interesting experience, you can go for the bar experience with the music and excellent drinks, or you can go to the back room and have excellent Indian food. But you should visit this place. It's right on the side of the Glenbrook Railroad Station. So when the trains come through, all the bars, all the bottles on the bar vibrate as the train goes through. And he's just redecorated the place, and it's really very pretty, and you can't lose. The food is just great. So
I'm getting hungry.
Go over there.
I love Indian food, too.
That's the one in they have one in Ridgefield also, is that?
He owns the one in Ridgefield. Right. The one in Ridgefield is just a restaurant, and same food.
Yeah.
Mommy's involved. Mommy's cooking. And
I got a mailer from them with the menu.
Yeah. And he says that restaurant's doing real well, so that's great.
Good.
There was a former Indian restaurant there that did not have a particularly good reputation. And he's changed all that. But
that area has been there for a while. I mean, it's a hotel.
It's in the hotel.
Right. That motel thing there. Yeah.
It's like a throwback to when Route 7 was the main mode of transportation.
Yeah. Yes. When I had the school in Reading, I would send students to stay there. Mm-hmm. And one of the complaints was that the restaurant wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. And that the rooms were expensive, so
that's a good combination.
That's changed. That's changed a little bit.
Do they own the hotel? No, they don't.
It's a rental. They rent the restaurant, and unfortunately, what they experienced when the when that big storm came up and they lost power for a bunch of days, they had to throw away all the food.
Sure,
because they had no generator.
Yeah,
and that's a terrible thing for a restaurant to go through because. You know, obviously you can't sell any of that stuff.
Tons of money down the drain.
It's just everything that you've bought to prep, you just have to throw away.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm sure it's hard to totally
freezers
restock
and
on, you know,
freezers going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything in the refrigerator, everything in the freezer had to be thrown away. They lost a ton of money, and then you have to start over once and hope that you don't lose power again. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to support him. Go to either Tawa in Ridgefield or Tawa in the Glenbrook section of Stanford.
T-A-W-A.
Uh-huh. And the club is called Club London,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't quite understand, but, you know, that's what they're doing. But the music was, they had a fellow playing the guitar, and the drinks were huge, and it was nice.
Was it Indian music, or was it just like music?
No, it was
music.
It was just a guy playing Rolling Stones live.
Oh my goodness.
It was live.
Live
entertainment, and he was playing Johnny Cash and Rolling Stones and all kinds of things. Yeah.
Well, it's worth it right there.
Yeah. It was good. Well, you know, we've all been such shut-ins for so long that to hear live music anywhere is wonderful.
Yeah.
I was watching something on PBS yesterday on jazz that was really a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, I've never watched so much TV in my life. So I'm watching Netflix like crazy.
Well, there's so much to look at.
Well, there is, but we're going to run out eventually. I mean, you know. You're gonna get your old job back.
I am gonna get my old job back. Yeah.
Well, one of the things I love to watch, of course, is Gardener's World from the UK, and
I
get a special channel on Amazon just so I can watch it. But on YouTube, oh, the gardening videos on YouTube. That
well, that's what we've been watching all these chicken videos. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife is getting so smart in regard to chickens. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's amazing what's out there. It's like and. It's so easy to find something out now.
Well, it's like Amazon. You can find anything on it. Anything you want to look at.
Well, good stuff and bad stuff.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
But, yeah, and unfortunately, I'm watching more things about chickens than I want to watch. But if anybody in the listing area wants a rooster, let me know. Please let me know, because we've probably got about 5 roosters that we're going to have to find placement for. Mm-hmm. As they get bigger, and I want to get rid of the one I've got because he is just not friendly to me.
Not a good guy.
He is not friendly to me. Every time I get anywhere near the enclosure, he comes over to protect his girls, and he is just trying to get at me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these days, I'm going to get at him.
And say, look, pal, this is my property.
Yeah,
okay. I pay the taxes.
He doesn't understand that. I held him in my hands when he was a baby. And I brought him up, and I fed him
That's just like a kid, isn't it?
Oh, my God. He's so ungrateful.
Maybe you should introduce him to your neighbor, Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. And my wife doesn't want to euthanize him.
Mm-hmm. No.
She wants to give him to a good home. But most good homes aren't going to want this nasty rooster, especially one who at 7 o'clock in the morning starts making noise.
Who would want a rooster?
Somebody who wants fertilized eggs and wants to hatch babies.
Okay.
And not have any neighbors near them.
They already have one.
What do you mean?
Anybody who wants to do that already has a
rooster. No, not necessarily. I mean, if somebody, a lot of people are raising chickens right now. And what you find over time is that it's a lot of work.
Right. You can't leave them, right? You have to have somebody take care of them?
No. I mean, you can. We have feeders and all the rest of it. You can.
So you can leave for a week? Or?
Well, I think you should have somebody look.
Okay.
They need water. You know.
Well, let's try it out on that rooster.
The rooster. Yeah. No, I don't want to get up. Really, I have no interest in killing the thing. He's just nasty.
Yeah. If there's an accident,
you never know what happens. Lightning.
If the hawk flies in and gets him, I'm not going to be that upset. But it would have to be a very big hawk to haul this thing away.
And he'll go down with a fight.
And I was very careful when I was building the coop and the enclosures to put hardware cloth on the ground and not have something be able to dig its way in.
Right.
And, you know, we've been really careful with it. But at this point, he's probably the biggest predator that's out there.
Yeah.
He's huge.
We have a woodchuck that likes to live under the porch. It's such a pain.
Under your porch?
Under the porch. He lives there, and then he comes to my garden and eats all my tulips.
That's right.
A pain. And
what's wrong with that? That's great, you know? I mean,
you just have to grow more tulips.
The dogs are keeping them out of the backyard, which is kind of nice.
We had woodchucks, and they decimated the garden.
Yeah, and they're really hard to get rid of because we can trap it, but... we have the same thing. We've dug wire fencing underneath the porch for a bit, and they get through. I mean, it's like 6 or 8 inches. Will not do. It's got to be a foot. And also, we need to get under the porch because we store some things there. So that we haven't figured out
sounds
yet.
Like,
well, that's,
like Char's
that's the problem, is you've got to bury the wire into the ground, and you've got to staple it up underneath the porch so that they don't nest in there, because most people don't realize that a porch with lattice is a wonderfully safe place for all kinds of wildlife to have their babies, because they can defend themselves under there.
Good air circulation, enough light, you know.
Yeah.
Wow,
so
it's
very
nice.
Yeah, and it's shady, and so they can have their babies, and you go under there and you hear growling noises, which is not always what you want to hear. Wow. I had skunks in my first house. A mother found her way into a crawl space, and she had like 6 babies down there. And I had to wait until 2 o'clock in the morning when she was out foraging. I went outside and I put something over the hole. And then I crawled into the crawl space and one by one picked up each baby with gloves and put them into a milk crate. And as I picked up each one sprayed me. And then I dragged them outside. And as I was releasing them, the mother starts running towards me. And you never saw me move so fast.
Yeah.
But I kept the wire in the hole, and I was able to keep them out of the crawl space.
What were you wearing? Were you like in a hazmat suit or something?
I was probably wearing coveralls or something like that. Yeah, it was an adventure. But I was hell-bent on getting her out of there.
Yeah.
Because the stink in my little family room was unbelievable.
Yeah, we had a skunk living somewhere near us for quite a while. I don't even know exactly what happened, but it was one of the things. He'd just boldly go right through our yard. It's like,
well, they don't know any fear.
Yeah.
They don't.
You're
why
right.
should they?
they really don't.
Why should they be scared of
they
anything?
They don't have any fear whatsoever.
They don't do that much damage. They eat a lot of grubs and things. But it's just like unpleasant.
No, they rip up the grass. Come on.
Oh, I don't care about my grass.
You don't care about grass.
No,
huh?
I
only
don't.
Like flowers
I
and
like
plants.
Flowers, yeah. So. Right. I find grass is way too much work for negative space.
I agree. I used to have to mow the lawn, and it was just awful. Hated it.
What's happening at our house is that crazy plant that grows through asphalt is growing in the lawn as well. And I don't know how to stop it. I don't think anyone knows how to stop it. That invasive thing that looks like bamboo.
Hand grenade will kill.
Knotweed.
Japanese. Is it knotweed?
It's got these juicy little spruces. Nothing eats it. It's horrible. Whenever something like that gets hold, you just have to be super vigilant. And if it's underneath your asphalt, what are you going
to
do?
It's a root system that pops up. You have to dig all the way down.
A good 2 feet.
Yeah, and I've done that in areas, and it's come back. It's not worth all the work.
Right. And
so I just snap them off and just leave.
Spray paint them.
Yeah, if you're really religious about cutting them down, it helps. But
they could look nice, you know.
So. All right, we need to take a break. You're listening to Around the House, and here's some words from our paying customers.
Gutter guys.
Vendors. Gutter guys. All right. Gutter guys are located in Stamford, but they cover a good deal of lower Fairfield County. And, a lot of times I see houses that don't have any gutters. And the builders will often say to me, oh, you don't need gutters. We've provided enough drainage around the outside of the house. And I will tell you, that is the most nonsensical thing. You need to control the water. When the water is coming down as rain or snow or hail or any other form of water, you need to control it. And so having gutters and leaders is a great idea. And some of the products that they sell include putting up new gutters, putting up new leader pipes, directing water away from the house. And they have all different types of gutter guards and leaf guards and all kinds of things that can make your maintenance much less. So you want to give them a call. It's the Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, 327-1346. And they do gutter cleaning and power washing, and they'll clean your skylights. Give them a call, Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, and tell them you heard it on Around the House. If you are in a business that you are not particularly happy about being in and you would like to change professions, we at the New England School of Home Inspection are starting classes. We're doing Saturday, Sunday classes right after the radio show. I go run and do the classes, and it's a 10-day class. So 10 different dates on the calendar, or 10 different weekends on the calendar. And you can learn and take the pre-licensing course for home inspection and complete the first step of getting your license for becoming a home inspector. I've been doing this for over 35 years. It's a wonderful business. And if you have been in the trades or in any business that you're considering changing because you're not happy and you would like to do something else, and you are interested in doing something that is consumer-oriented, and this is a business for people who like to communicate all kinds of things about houses, you can call me at 203-327-6824. That's 203-327-6824. Or you can go on our website, which is New England School of Home Inspection.com. New England School of Home Inspection.com. And there's information with the dates on it. And if you have questions, you can always call me at 203-327-6824.
Now, back with Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
Thank you. All right, we're back. I just lost the feed on Facebook and had to restart us again. Yeah. So we have a two-parter now.
Oh, okay, good.
It's nice. I want to remind everybody that the plant sale is going to be this coming Saturday. Mm-hmm. At the Civic Center on Harding, which...
Correct.
I used to call the Greenwich Civic Center,
but now it's the Eastern Greenwich.
It's the Eastern Greenwich Civic Center. Right. So I've gone to train shows there.
Right.
And
I remember that train show. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
Yeah. I haven't played with my trains in a while. I just had my property surveyed, and Ken Frateroli from Frateroli Surveyors is going through the motions of trying to figure out how big a barn I could build.
Ah, so
and where I could build it. And
how big do you want to make?
Yeah,
I want it to be big enough to do my trains in it.
Ah. You see, the thing is with
okay.
So you've seen my trains.
Yes, I have.
I want an area bigger than a single car garage.
I got it. Okay.
But I don't know what I can put in, if anything. So I had to have the house surveyed. I had to have the wetlands measured as far as setbacks and stuff, because I don't have wetlands, but my neighbor next door does. And we need to be figuring out where my property zoning is, because I'm on a private road, but I'm on two public roads. So the front of my house is not really considered my front. It's my side, and yard distances are different, which works to my favor, because normally you wouldn't be allowed to build something in your front yard, but I probably can. But all of these dimensions needed to be staked out and figured out before I can figure out how big something can be.
Right.
And so I may find out that I can't build anything, that I can only put in a garden shed, that I can only put it in a certain place, and that may put the kibosh on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm trying to do it right in order that nobody can say anything.
Right.
And you won't have any problems afterwards.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes, do it
because
right
what I want to do is I've already got power where I would like it to be, but I would like to pour a slab and build something that is substantial and have it be really nice so that I can play in a nice environment and not be in my basement anymore.
Right.
Because my basement, I would like to have it remain as my shop. And I've taken over 3/4 of the shop now for the trains.
It's like kudzu.
But you see, the problem is there's a lot of rewiring that I need to do.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to do it in the basement, I would prefer to wait and find out whether I can move everything to the barn rather than redo it.
Now that's going to be a chore.
I don't care.
All right, okay.
You see, starting over is not necessarily a bad thing, because the trains have never worked 100%. I can get them to go around. I can get certain trains to go all the way around, and other trains get snagged in places, or they fall off the track, or they do, you know, all the typical things with toys.
Right.
Right.
Okay. My grandkids' little wind up or battery operated trains work better than my electric trains. All right. So if I was to start over, it would be brand new.
Everything, basically.
Color-coded wiring.
Right.
Better attachments, a little bit more, putting it all into the computer so I know exactly where those two wires are going to, so that if something fails or shorts out, I know where to go, because right now it's under the table is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Okay?
So, yes, yeah.
So, I've spent so much money on this hobby that I want to do it right, and I have bought street lamps for the roadways, and I have traffic lights that go through sequencing, and I've got...
Dog poop in there.
Yeah.
He's got, like, everything.
And that dog
is
poop
there.
Was so expensive to get it in HO scale.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
You should have just gotten mini emojis.
Yeah, you got to go out and with a little tiny bag to pick it up, you know.
And let me tell you, the trees, if you don't make them yourself...
Right.
They're so expensive.
I can imagine, because they need to be so detailed to look at all like trees.
Well, I had to,
they don't want them to look like little cotton candy things.
Exactly.
Right.
And the thing is that I have all kinds of polyfoam and all kinds of things that you use as hedges and weeds.
When you said you were going to build a barn, though, my first thought was outbuildings are so hard to keep clean.
Well, the chicken coop was a shed, and I built the coops by using the interior of the shed and then enclosures beyond it. And yes, I've had to take out everything that I value out of the shed, because the chickens create so much dust and dirt, and they poop everywhere. Mm-hmm. And my wife is constantly cleaning. And what I found is that a shop vac is the best. Because you can go around and pick up the straw and pick up all the other stuff, and then just dump the shop vac instead of sweeping, which just moves stuff around.
Yeah.
So that was eye-opening the first time I used the shop vac in there. Now it's a standard thing that's in there.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. But is it messy? Yes. If you're considering growing chickens, think twice about it. Because the temptation after the chickens is ducks and then turkeys and then goats.
And it's old McDonald's.
And all of a sudden you realize you're running a farm and you have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to deal with mucking out the pig pen or something. I want nothing to do with it.
And then you're making cider and you're making all these other things you're going to make.
That isn't the retirement I was thinking
of. I'm not surprised. You
know, because every time I ever thought about farming, it was hard work.
Right.
My sister's husband's father owned one of the larger dairy farms upstate New York, and they had a milking parlor that ran 24 hours a day. There was cows going in, cows going out. I mean, they had a bunch of people. The family still, I believe, still runs the farm. I don't know if they sold it or not, but what an undertaking that was.
Yeah.
And
so you can't shirk off.
You absolutely can, and no matter how organized you are and how into computers, and he had a computer on every hoof of every cow. He knew that cow was sick before the cow knew.
Okay.
They knew how many drops of milk each cow gave up. But they were working round the clock.
Oh, sure.
And, dealing with livestock is worse than dealing with children, because eventually children can tell you what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm. And you can kick them out of the house.
You can try. I've never been successful.
Well.
My son is graduating from college, and he got a job offer. And we're with everything going on right now, we are so thrilled because, we're very happy for him, of course, we have a small house, and my other two kids are home.
Really? You're ready for them to move out?
Well, what's he do?
He's going to be working in analytics, data analytics. So,
That should be.
He's a very logical person. And
really?
His father and I are both math type people too.
I wish I was. I kid around. I tell people that when the locomotive is leaving the station and it's going in one direction, this garage door comes crashing down in front of me, and I can't even think about word problems and stuff like that. I was never good at math.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I was good at English. I was good at a lot of other things.
Yep, me too.
But I did not take a single math class in college. Not one.
I went to grad school on math.
Oh.
Yeah. there's people that it is fun for.
Mm-hmm.
I just could not deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has affected my entire life.
Right. Well, I can imagine, because I was thinking about when you were talking about the surveyor. People are under this impression that if you want to plot a picture of your land to make a garden plan or anything like that all you have to do is go with the tape measure. It's like, no, it's way more complicated than that. You have to triangulate. It's like you think you can tell when something's at a right angle, but you can't.
Yeah,
you know?
Triangulate. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm having a seizure here.
No, I remember when we were building my patio, I had these two wonderful Jamaicans that came in, and they stood on my porch, on the back porch before we began the patio, and they said, we're going to have to lower this so many inches. We're going to have to take away all the dirt. We're going to have to put drainage in. We're going to have to. And they impressed me with the fact that there was a whole body of knowledge that they knew everything about and I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And that's why I hired them. I had other people that came that knew nothing and said nothing. It's going to cost you $16,000.
Yeah. We'll find a way to do it.
Yeah. You know. But
find
I was so lucky. I was so lucky. I actually power washed that patio this last couple of days, and it still looks as good as it did from like 10 years ago. So it's amazing.
That's good, because the maintenance you put there, that's good.
I'm finding that things do not last as long as you might think that they should. And one of the things that just disappointed me is a lot of the lawn furniture that I bought, this plastic stuff that looked like wicker, it's all falling apart from the UVs, not from abuse, because it's never been abused, And I always put it away over the winter, but now I took it out, and a whole bunch of the pieces have actually just snapped.
Wow.
And yeah, the UV is horrible. It's really bad with the plastic pots, too. People buy these containers, and I think they're great. But
and you think plastic's going to last mm-hmm. forever, and it right. just doesn't with yeah. sunlight.
And it doesn't, and also it doesn't fail or melt or something. It's just all of a sudden one day it just cracks. You know, it's like it just falls apart basically in your hand.
So I've got these yeah. nice couches with mm-hmm. cushions mm-hmm. on it, and if you sit on it, you might just hit the ground. So I've wire tied some things. Well, it could be an adventure. Mm-hmm. You know,
so you could bring this over to the houses you're showing.
Well,
for the people to sit in, right. and oh, I fell through and I can't get.
I told this woman the other day that I took all the stuff off. You know, I put everything away on my porch at the beginning of winter. Right. All of the chairs mm-hmm. and everything else, I put it in the porch, and I cover the porch with drop cloths. So I actually secure the drop cloths on the inside so it becomes an enclosure. Mm-hmm. And so everything stays clean. The bugs can't get in. The animals can't get in. And one of the things that I saved was the cover from the hot tub, even though the hot tub went to the
long
dump.
Gone. Yeah.
So I saved this cover for a grandee hot spring spa. And 2 days ago, I took the Sawzall and I cut it into many pieces, and I put it out for recycling and got rid of it. And of course, I did a home inspection 2 days ago, and there's a grandee that I would have given her the cover in a second, because that cover is probably worth about $700.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah, well, they're expensive. And it wasn't filled with water. You know, it wasn't ripped. There was nothing wrong with it. I just didn't want to save it anymore mm-hmm. because I knew if I bought another hot tub, it wouldn't be that same model.
You're right, right, right.
And I was just—it was just so predictable.
Mm-hmm. That's what always happens.
It is. It's so much always what happens. All of a sudden, you get rid of it. And it's like, oh, somebody else could do something.
I have so much mm-hmm. stuff I want to get rid of, and mm-hmm. as soon as I get rid of it, I worry that I would need it again.
Right.
But I'm
also
getting.
It's just sad to throw perfectly fine things. Right.
Yeah,
it's like killing. It's like pulling little baby seedlings. You know?
Right now, I have a two drawer file cabinet that mm-hmm. is perfectly fine from IKEA. Mm-hmm. That I gave away one. Nobody wants the other one, and I'm gonna probably break it up and bring it to the dump. I mean, it's unfortunate. I have a lot of stuff that I mm-hmm. that.
Can you use I have a board in my bedroom that used to be between the mattress and the lower mattress, whatever you call it, and it's just hanging there now. I just have it. It's a piece of wood about the size of my bed, because I'm not going to use it anymore.
So is it plywood?
It's plywood.
Well, plywood you shouldn't throw away.
No, I don't know where to throw it. It won't fit in my car, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, there you go. So I got to come over and with the truck and get it. Huh?
No,
yeah.
Plywood I don't throw away because she's had me build whelping boxes. Mm-hmm. She's had me build all kinds of things.
You can have it.
I actually took a bed railing that was made out of particle board, and I actually saw that my outdoor ping pong table, the board underneath it had broken. So I actually took and remanufactured one of these particle board railings for a bed. I took the railing pieces off and cut it to size and bolted it in where the bottom of the ping pong table. So I'm resourceful. I mean, I save things longer than I probably should.
Well, if you want this board,
well,
you can...
we'll talk.
One thing I've been watching on YouTube again is... there are these computer cutters that people have, and there are people who have entire YouTube channels devoted to cutting fine things out of computers on plywood and just making really cool stuff with it.
Yeah.
It's really quite amazing, the precision. One of the things that surprised me is they'll put together something really big, and they'll use two pieces of plywood to do it, and then they don't even use cookies or dowels between them. They just glue them together, and it's just... apparently, it's just fine, you know, which is shocking because putting in a cookie isn't that hard, right? I mean, all this other equipment, you'd have one of those little slot cutters.
Well, I have a biscuit cutter, and the biscuit cutter mm-hmm. I used for making tops for the whelping box. Mm-hmm. You know, what I did is I built a box for the chicks, mm-hmm. so because as they got to be a couple of weeks old, they start to fly around, and you don't want them all over the place because they make a mess. Mm-hmm. So I made some... wire fencing and, mm-hmm. and picture frames, and I put the biscuit cutter into the 90 degree bends of the the miter cuts mm-hmm. of the wood, and biscuits you just glue them in once. This biscuit cutter just cuts a notch that the biscuits fit into, and they're just like little pieces of wedge shaped wood. And you glue them in, and then you push the two pieces of wood together, and then you put a couple of nails into it, and it holds together stronger.
Yeah.
So I've done that, mm-hmm. and plywood is very strong, as long as you're not putting it outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you can do a lot of stuff with it. Man, we're drifting all over the place. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk some more plants.
Okay.
All right? Let's just talk about M&M. M&M Construction is my friend Marek. And every time we've had an idea around the house to do something, I've brought Marek in the first time just to give me some ideas. And that's a wonderful thing. But many times we inspect houses and people say, oh, before we move in, we're going to renovate all this and that. And I'll say to them, do you have a contractor in place? And they'll say, well, no, we'll find one. Well, it's a little bit more time consuming than that. And you want somebody who's going to go take out a permit. You want somebody who's going to do the job properly. And that's M&M Construction. I have gotten tons and tons of testimonials from my clients who I've referred Marek and his guys to. They do a beautiful job. They use the right materials. If you are trying to cheap out something, he'll work with you, but he'll do his best to try and make sure that the job is done top-notch. M&M Construction can be reached at 203-834-9719, 203-834-9719. M&M Construction, FairfieldCountyContractor.com is their website. I urge you to call them at 203-834-9719. If you are experiencing problems with insects or rodents or bed bugs, almost any pest that is annoying you other than people, you need to call Usoli Pest Control at 914-356-9084. A small family-owned and operated personalized service is offered at all times. Same-day service, 22 years of experience. He's local in the Greenwich area, so he's happy to respond to your needs. All of our services are guaranteed. And once again, it's Usoli Pest Control at usolipestcontrol.com and 914-356-9084. And it's Y-S-O-L-I Pest Control. And he's worked at my house, and I recommend him highly. All right, let me tell you a little bit about the Window People. They've been in business over 80 years doing home improvements and creating home improvement excellence. Ted Davey and I have been friends for more than 35 years, and they're located at 43 McGee Avenue in Stamford. The Window People do all kinds of home improvements at this point, not only windows and doors, but they're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing all kinds of improvements. Their website is www.thewindowpeople.net. You can reach them by dialing 203-323-1804. They've been selling and installing high-quality windows, doors, roofing, skylights, siding, awnings, selling it to homeowners and contractors and businesses in Fairfield and Westchester counties since 1932. Ted Davey is involved with every aspect of it and a friend of mine. So when you call him, tell him Steve Gladstone told you to call.
Here's Steve Gladstone around the house.
All right, we're back, and we've got about another 15 minutes. So if you want to call in, it's 203-661-5051 if you want to ask Shar a question. Mm-hmm. We'll take your plant questions.
I have one.
You do?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do, actually. Okay.
Well, why don't you call?
You know, I don't have my phone. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Next call.
Okay. My daughter had her birthday a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. She's 27.
Happy birthday.
And this is Kendall.
That's Kendall.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We both have Kendalls.
Oh, yes. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know what to get her, you know, and mm-hmm. she's starting to get into, like, plant stuff, okay, mm-hmm. which is great. And I got her a money tree.
Okay. Those are really cool.
And I thought, oh, she likes these things. I'll get her a money tree, you mm-hmm. know. And I brought it home, and she absolutely fell in love with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a real? Is that the actual name of that? Of that a money tree?
Or I'm sure it's got a scientific name. I haven't got a clue what it is. So.
But I mean, is it that is the actual name?
That's what I've always heard yeah. it called. That's what I've always heard it talked about. You know? Yeah. And it's like it's just, you know, when they come up with a cute name for things, they just stick with it. And it's like mother-in-law's tongue. I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
that's not what it's called either.
I hate to hear yeah. about how that came about. But anyway.
Well, it's sharp. I think
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the idea.
Hello.
But, what's worse, though, is the common names, which nobody actually uses for a lot of the garden plants. Like, you know, lots of things have weed in them or pig, the word
right,
pig in
right,
them or
right, right.
spider wart. And or the word wart is a big
yeah,
one, too. Or it's like,
yeah.
you know, it's like.
But it's cool. It looks like
yeah.
the one she's got, it has, she says, you got me a tree. I said, yes, it's a tree. She was like, this is a tree. And it's like three or four ones, and they were like twisted.
Intertwined, mm-hmm. yeah.
And, you know, it looks like
that's
the one of a
cool.
cigar,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they twist them. And the leaves are gorgeous, you know, and it's mm-hmm. a little pot thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, now is that going to get big, or is that?
Everything gets big. Okay. It depends. And
okay.
You know, sometimes, one of the reasons why they, braid things when they have thin stems is because one single stem won't support that much weight, and so they braid them so it can grow taller. And if things don't get taller, it's because the branches won't support the weight and they just spread out more. And so that's the way it all
really?
Plants are indeterminate. They all grow forever, or they all grow till they die. If they're not growing, they're dead. So,
well, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like people.
Pretty much, except, yeah. yeah
except without taxes.
Yeah, you kind of hope you're not growing too much.
Yeah, really. Well, that's good. So that's yeah. that's legit.
If she wants to yeah. keep it up, actually, she can probably keep on
braiding
it, too.
It.
Yeah. yeah. It's tricky to do, but it's kind of fun. You know, it like, makes you
Well, I'll have to give you a call when that time comes mm-hmm. and find out what it is. I'm sure she'd be thrilled to talk to you at some point, but mm-hmm. when it gets there.
Okay.
But,
yeah,
you know, she's loving it. So mm-hmm. I'm saying, great, cool. And she said, oh, you knew. How did you know? I'm going, thinking to myself, geez, I just walked it by this place, and I thought mm-hmm. it looked good.
Sweet,
I'll
yeah.
get her plant.
Yeah, we have one on one of the tables. That
do
I
you have it? Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
You know, one thing you can do, which is also a lot of fun, without getting too many new plants, is she can learn how to take cuttings from it and root those cuttings because, you know, every house plant roots pretty easily, actually. Just that's how they get more house plants. But it's just fun. You just take it, you take a little cutting where the wood's not too hard, and you just put it in. You can put it in a tiny bottle of water if you want to, just the root, or you can put it in moist soil. If you keep the plant really moist, you can just kind of put it around there, and you get new plants. And
oh, that's great.
That's just
yeah,
a
I did
lot
that
fun.
With, a, with yeah. a spider plant.
Yeah,
I
get
did
the
that.
Little babies there.
And yeah, and
mm-hmm.
it was like, wow, it's growing. Wow, mm-hmm. this is great. This yeah. is cool.
You know, you can do that outside a lot, too. Like what you're talking about the euonymus. You can just take a branch of it if you want to.
Yeah, you said take the end of it and just smash it.
Yeah, or actually, if it's long enough, you can just have it go to the ground and put a brick on top of it. And where the brick is, it'll generally root right there. And then you can either cut it and move it someplace else, or you can just let it get wider instead of just taller.
Really?
Yeah. It's a lot of things work really well. If it's vining at all, that always works. So
that's
climbing
remarkable.
Hydrangeas
yeah.
Are
yeah.
great that way.
203-661-5051. Here you've got this opportunity, this master gardener. You can call in if you have a question. We have a few minutes left.
We're going to talk a bit about the plants that we're going to have at the plant sale, too.
Sure.
No.
Okay. We, like I said, in February, we had no idea what we were going to be doing. And so we decided, okay, we'll make a list of the stalwart plants that everybody loves. And bit by bit, we've been adding to that. So there's going to be a lot of the really sturdy plants that are wonderful for a garden. We're going to have a fair bit of Sedum Autumn Joy, which we generally have. And if you don't have Sedum Autumn Joy in your garden, you should. It's the absolute perfect plant.
What is it? Well,
it's got kind of flat, grayish, kind of juicy-looking leaves, and it has flowers. The flowers start, they kind of look like broccoli heads in the beginning of August, and then they get redder and redder.
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic plant because The leaves look beautiful. It just kind of works well with other plants. It grows anywhere. They always say, oh, it needs to be in perfect drainage with full sun. It's like.
And what is that again? That's the
sedum. And the there's a lot of different types of sedums. Some of them grow to be about 3 feet high. Some of them grow to be like 3 or 4 inch ground covers. And it's just a wonderful plant. The small ones are perfect in containers, the small types of sedum. The large ones actually look good, pretty good in big containers too, because they got this kind of they're not in flower constantly, but they got this really cool grayish foliage, which really contrasts well.
Is that S-E or is it C-E?
S-E-D-U-M. Okay. Okay, and the one that I love is Autumn Joy. There's variegated sedums. There's yellow leaf sedums. There's kind of reddish toned leafed ones too, and they all have these gorgeous flowers, and some of them are tiny yellow flowers that come usually in June, but most of them have flowers in the later part of summer. And if you want to have a beautiful autumn garden, you absolutely have to have one of those. And I don't understand why people don't want to have a beautiful autumn garden.
It's an indoor and outdoor.
I've never grown it indoor. Now that I think about it, I can't imagine why it wouldn't be perfectly happy. But it's an outdoor plant, and it looks good. It always looks good until the beginning of November. A lot of people leave it up all winter long because it's got some structure to it, and the snow falls on it. It looks lovely, and it makes the birds happy. Yeah. But the other thing that's great about it is it's incredibly easy to propagate, too.
Oh, this is great. Okay,
yeah, so if you want a million of them, just be patient. You know, just do a few cuttings. If you just take the cuttings before they're completely dead, like at end of September, beginning of October, and just put them on the bottom of a pot, next spring you'll have more plants.
That's amazing.
And they divide easily. So they're my absolute favorite plant. And also I think there are a lot of plants that bloom in fall. And I think people just tend to forget about their gardens in fall. But it's easy to have perennial plants and just have it be an incredible amount of color from September to the middle of November is not a problem usually. Especially American asters are so wonderful. And they're easy to grow. Beautiful, beautiful blue. I have one that we're going to have at the plant sale. Called Oblong Folius. Isn't that a fun name? And it blooms all October, and it looks just stunning, and it needs no care. And, you know, when everybody else's garden's dead, you can have this gorgeous blue, big blue plant growing there. So.
Wow.
All right, I have to give a tip of the week. And tip of the week for this week is anybody that has any desire to have beautiful plantings around their house should go to the plant sale for the Old Greenwich Garden Club of Old Greenwich, mm-hmm. We'll use the correct name, at the
Eastern
Greenwich Civic Center
on Harding Road.
On Harding Road, mm-hmm. And they're going to be there from 8 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock.
That's right.
On Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to help support the Garden Club and you want to get some beautiful plantings, go there and spend some money.
Yeah, I really want to thank the community, too. We didn't have our plant. It's our only fundraiser most of the time, and we didn't have it last year. So we reached out and sold bulbs in fall, and people bought a lot of bulbs, which is really great. We sold a lot of the type that we plant around town, so people were familiar with them. And also this spring, we had a fundraiser where we gave away seeds, too, and that got a lot of response from the community. And we are very grateful because we were kind of scared when we thought about not having our plant sale.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
And also, this may be the last year that we have it in the old Civic Center because they're going to tear down the building. And apparently, that's really happening. They're going to build a new one. It's an ancient building. It was never well built in the first place. And they're going to be doing that. And we're not sure what we're going to do next year. I'm sure we'll do something. But
you can come to my house.
Okay, sounds perfect. You'll have to hold the plants for a couple of days.
Plant sale / tag sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. We can put plants in some of the things I want to get rid of.
Oh, we do have a boutique there, too, where we have things for the garden. Like this year I'm giving away my beautiful plant stand, so come early and get it.
Maybe, cool. Bring the rooster.
Bring the rooster and let the rooster run around.
And people may say, geez, I'd love to have a rooster.
Mm-hmm. He is beautiful. He is beautiful. He has some incredible.
That's always the way, though, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's even in humans. Oh, beautiful, and you
on the outside.
Yeah, you know.
Don't they usually have I've heard there are rooster tails, but they're feathers that look red but have this green iridescent thing going on.
He's a very, I mean, she was a beautiful hen until we realized she was a rooster. Yeah, absolutely. But that's great. That's great that people can buy plants. And I'm sure if my wife is listening, she'll probably end up there.
She's on her way.
Yeah, she's already got a tent outside there.
Also, if anybody has any questions about the plant sale or anything gardening related, they can email us at info@gardenog.org, and we're happy to answer the questions. So we're not a professional organization. We're just people who answer the emails. So
yeah, but you're knowledgeable.
Definitely.
How many people in the club are master gardeners?
I think that I don't remember if it's four or five of us.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, and the woman who's in charge of Member Zone this year, she's a master gardener too, with a real special interest in native plants.
Cool.
So she's a lot of things going on.
So a lot of resources that are very helpful. That's great. There's so much more stuff that we can talk about. We'll figure another day to do this, because I know you enjoy yourself talking about
it. I do.
We enjoy having you here.
Yeah. It's wonderful to have people not look away when I'm talking about it, too.
Yeah, I feel the same way sometimes. You know? I'll be describing air conditioning, and I get people nodding out.
Yeah. You see the Z's above their head. You know?
Yeah. It's like, thank you for all that information.
Yeah. But it's too bad that the phones haven't been ringing, because 203-661-5051 is the number. And give out that email again if people want.
info@gardenog.org.
Okay.
Which is the website too, gardenog.org.
I'm teaching next week. So I will probably not be able to go there, because my Saturday is filled. But we have about 6 students going through the school right now, which is wonderful.
That's great. Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And
are you able to have them in person?
Yeah, because the classroom is so big that nobody is next to each other. And that's working out quite nicely. And a bunch of them have had their shots. And I encourage people. Anyone above 16 is able to get the vaccinations now. Please protect yourself, people, because the numbers may be going down, and it may be really easy to justify not getting a shot if you are one of those people that are a little bit concerned about the shots. But know that it's a mess in India. It's a mess in Brazil. It's a mess in a bunch of other countries. And all it takes is a couple of people coming from there to here to start spreading it around again.
Well, even if you don't think that you're going to be one who gets very sick, you're basically a human petri dish to come up with new, worse strains. You know,
well, people think that, that the vaccine has some kind of COVID-19 in it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. What it does is it causes a reaction within you that will help to protect you against having it so bad that you'll end up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And even if you've had COVID already, you should get the vaccine. You should not be hesitating about this stuff, because the more of us that are vaccinated, the less likely that this is going to hit this country again. And there are, I know, quite a few people that are against getting vaccinated, that they think that they're healthy enough that they could fight this. A lot of people who are now deceased thought the same thing.
I wouldn't want to chance it.
I don't see the point.
I don't either. Mm-hmm.
I think that it is too important for you to protect your kids, protect your family, protect your parents. We all want to get back to going to restaurants and going to music venues and visiting parents and relatives. Please go out there and get vaccinated. Don't let those vaccines go bad. We'll see everybody next week.